Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, here with a name you know. You might know her as Laurel Van Ness. You might know her as Reclusa. We got Chelsea Green here, one of the hottest free agents on the market right now. Chelsea, how you doing?
That's so crazy hearing you say that, because it feels like yesterday that I like was labeling myself the hottest free agent.
Well, I mean, here we are. You are a free agent. This has been a very big week for you. I'm sure an emotional roller coaster of a week, but people want to know how you're feeling right now.
I think that people are probably expecting me to be very emotional. I know my family and my best friends were expecting that out of me. But I've kind of been emotionless. It's very strange. I haven't cried. I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of nervous. So I'm like emotionless, but I'm also feeling all the emotions right now. And it's very overwhelming.
So it was a few days ago as we filmed this that the news of the release happened. I had heard things, obviously. Oh, well, maybe they'll bring her back after WrestleMania. I'm sure you had heard those things as well. Did this come as a surprise to you? And how are you feeling about it?
I actually was totally shocked. I'm not going to lie. I was totally shocked. I understand it. You know, I wasn't used. And of course, when I was used, then I broke my arm. So I was definitely shocked. And in previous years, when they have done the releases, I was expecting it more throughout those releases. I was kind of ready last year and you know, times before, but this time I was very shocked, because I know my potential in the company and I know what I bring to the table, which is something different, you know, character work and acting skills and promo abilities. And that's something that I know I will thrive at when I'm able to show that. So, yeah, I was totally shocked. Thankfully, I was given a little bit of a heads up, a little warning. Hey, they are cutting people. So I was able to mentally prepare myself just in case, because I will say, if I hadn't have got that text letting me know, I would have thought that that phone call was for my debut, and that would have been embarrassing.
No.
Yeah, I am so thankful that I was forewarned, because wow, I was ready to debut, you know?
It was going to be a real-life Laurel Van Ness situation.
Yeah, it would have been total shock, and who the hell knows what I would have done then.
So we had heard that it was Johnny Ace, and they basically said budget cuts are the reason, correct?
Yes, that's what they said to me. You know, he was very, very sweet to me. We've known each other since pre-WWE days, just because I have a good relationship with the Bellas and the Bellas' mom. I love them all. So he was kind of tied into that relationship. So he was very nice to me about it. You know, I'm sure that's a hard call to make over and over again.
And he just got promoted to that spot again. So, I mean, I'm sure that's, and a lot of people were speculating, is that why, were they just like, hey, somebody who's given these calls before, do it?
Yeah, but right. He's like, he knows what he's doing with those calls. And I do really like the fact that he's just so straight up. I really appreciate someone that's straightforward and doesn't bullshit with me, because I'm not a bullshitter. And that has got me in trouble in the past. But but I feel like in the long run, it just works out better for everyone when you just cut the shit, get straight to the point. And so I'm glad I got that call from him.
Did they say anything about maybe the doors open, maybe you'll end up back in the future? I mean, I know last year, a lot of the people that they talked to said, hey, you never know down the line. Was any of that like put out there for you?
It definitely was. They kind of say the same thing every time, which is that WWE is a revolving door. And we've seen that happen, especially when, you know, we saw Jinder come back.
Yeah.
And people like that and become the champ, you know? So I know that that's a possibility. I know that sentence is true. But with that being said, you know, you can't sit around and wait. And I'm just not that type of person to sit around and wait. I never have been. I think that's why I've done well in wrestling. I always left the party before the party was over. And even though I didn't leave the party this time, I got kicked out. The party still is going, you know what I mean? And I can still come back and the party's still going to be going.
So we had seen you pop up backstage at SmackDown. There was that picture on Twitter. How did that go? Were you there to talk about like a return? Were you just there visiting? How did that work out?
I'm just going to be straight up. I am probably one of the most annoying people in talent relations history, because I show up when I'm not booked. Email every week. Yes. I email every week. I give new ideas. They could be the polar opposite ideas. I never stop bugging them. And I haven't stopped doing that since I was Megan Miller in 2014. So they have not got rid of me for 6 years. And I just continued to do that because that's what worked. That's what got me in the door. That's what got me my tryouts. That's what got me on TV. You know, when I kind of debuted against Charlotte on Raw, I took a wild guess at Paul Heyman's email and I emailed him and asked him to be put on the roster. And it worked, you know, it has always worked. So I showed up at SmackDown that day. Nobody invited me. And I said, hello, I'm here. If you want to use me, I've got my gear in my car. And that's the way I will continue to be in any company I work for.
So this was your way of basically just poking them and saying, I'm good to go, I'm cleared. Hey.
Exactly. And I really think like that's the best way to do it, because out of sight, out of mind in wrestling, for the fans and for everyone backstage too, you know, they're no different. If I'm not there and they're not looking at my Instagram pictures and bikinis, how are they going to know I'm alive?
And I had heard like, well, maybe, you kind of always hear when a talent's off TV around WrestleMania time, when I ask at least, because the nature of my job, people will say probably after Mania. Were you at Mania? Because I've already talked to some of the released wrestlers and some of them weren't there.
I was not there. However, I didn't push to be there.
Okay.
I knew that with COVID,
sure,
it was a very weird situation. And I think when it comes to COVID, you just don't want to push it. That's what we've learned, you know? You just don't want to push it or push the wrong button. So I respected their wish for people who are not booked to not be there unless asked. So I didn't show up. And the irony of all this is that Yes, I did have my SmackDown outfit ready to go. I was going to show up for SmackDown, so I just put it away right before this interview. I put it back in the closet, but I was ready to go.
So for the SmackDown after Mania, like, you were going to pop up there again and be like, hey, what's up? Here I am.
I sent them an email saying, I'm coming. I'm just warning you. I'm coming. I'm going to be there if you need anyone. If anything last minute comes about, I'm your girl. I will be there with gear in hand.
So it's funny you mentioned that. As we went on the air, I had just put out a report. They were shorthanded on Monday. Like, they were very shorthanded in plans change and all that. Obviously, to somebody like me, I'm looking at that and I'm like, well, seems like a pretty good way to rectify that is not to release 10 people. But when did you hear anything back from them when you said, I'm going to be at SmackDown after Mania? Now, this is obviously before the release.
No, I didn't. And that honestly, like, now I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you probably were waiting to fire me.
Their response was, you will you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, bitch, no, you won't, actually. So let's get it done before Friday so her ass doesn't show up.
Oh,
but,
man.
I mean, even like hearing you say like they're shorthanded, like they're not. There's so many amazing talent that's sitting in that locker room every single week dying to get on TV. So even me being gone, like there was so many other people in my position that had been in that position longer and had been sitting there for more weeks than me.
And we had mentioned the fact that you had got called up, but I mean,
oh my gosh, can you just wait a second? Dude is eating one of Matt's figures.
Oh no.
I'm not even joking.
This is good footage.
I know. He's going to die. He is going to die.
So right now, Matt Cardona is booked at some gimmick in Wisconsin. You know, maybe this is behind the scenes footage in the future. But he's booked in Wisconsin, so I mean, she's got to tend to the figures. She's got to tend to.
Oh my! Wow. Well, sorry, Matt. You just saw that happen. So.
Oh, that's amazing. It's terrible, but it's amazing.
No.
It's funny. Whenever I'm at a wrestling figure store, and I'm like, oh gosh, I can't remember what I have, and I got to call my wife. We call that getting Chelsea'd. Because we've seen Matt do it on the show on his stuff.
Oh, he's done it so many times. He always goes, babe, are you busy? I'm like, well, yeah, but what do you need? Like, I have to go up to his toy room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he makes me look for a certain figure. And I don't know anything about action figures. And it's, it's quite a time trying to look through his collection.
Yeah. The big head, little head Shane Douglas is the one that I specifically remember there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't wait to find out what figure it was that was getting eaten. I was afraid, like, I thought you had, like, a home intruder or something.
No, it looks like, no, I can't tell.
Well, you can't tell anymore.
I'm not even going to make a guess, and I don't know even where Jude got it from, but I'm sure I'm going to be in trouble for that.
Oh, it's amazing. So we had mentioned the call-up, and I had heard that you were called up, like, what, April, May of last year, of 2020?
So I originally got called up in December 2019.
Yes.
But it was kind of a weird call up. It was a miscommunication maybe between NXT and the main roster. I was called up, but I wasn't. And then I was on TV at NXT, which I was so happy about, you know, like, obviously I want to be called up, but nobody had made it official. So to be then called to TV was awesome. And then Triple H pulled me aside in April or May of 2020, right before the pandemic, or right around that time, because we had just done a tag match, Charlotte and I versus Rhea and Io. And that was the day that I got officially called up.
So when that happened, I remember hearing things like, okay, she's going to be put in a team. She's going to be like an understudy. What had you heard about creative plans for Chelsea Green after that? Because you did have momentum in NXT. I mean, you were on TV almost every week.
I was just kind of starting to like get a little momentum. So I actually didn't hear anything. Funny enough, when I was out there at the very end of the match, I heard Charlotte raised my hand and said something like she's going to be next or something along the lines that made me think that I was either going to be partnered with her or I was going to be her protege. Mm-hmm. And then, is that the right word? Protege? Yeah,
protege.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I kind of heard rumblings of that in the weeks after that I was going to be, I don't want to say the next Charlotte, but coming up behind her sure. as her as my mentor, which is amazing. Like, I don't know that you can get a better spot than that. And then kind of radio silence until the next storyline that I heard about. I heard of a lot of storylines.
So I heard of one that that you all ended up in trying to like do on social media, Mickie James, Chelsea Green, to the point to where apparently vignettes were filmed and were ready to go or segments or something like that. Is that true? And tell me literally everything about that, because that's very interesting to me.
Yeah, so I did what I always do, and after I was called up, I didn't hear anything, but I showed up every day. That was for Raw. Showed up every day for Raw, and continued to do so for a few weeks, and then I basically was told, you know, just give it a rest. They will call you. You will be on TV. We just have to find a place for you. So I assumed then, of course, that the Charlotte storyline was not happening. And that was okay because I wasn't emotionally invested in that yet. I was excited, but you know, there's been so many of those kind of like false starts that was not my first time.
And she was off TV at that point too, wasn't she?
So then she definitely wasn't there. So yeah. I can't remember. I believe that was when she took her like
took hiatus. Time off. Yeah.
Yeah, so that made sense that wasn't going to happen. And then I was on my way to Epcot one day, and I got a call saying, we're going to go ahead with this storyline of you basically being the Mickie James to Mickie James.
I love it.
And Mickie will be the Trish. And I was so in love with that. You know, Mickie and I... she's just always been such a great mentor to the locker room. So to then be under like a legend was going to be insane. And this is, of course, this is where I shine.
Yes.
Being crazy and like acting and these kind of storylines. This was the perfect storyline to show the hot mess and to show WWE a new side of the hot mess. You know, it doesn't have to be cheesy and over the top. It can be creepy and it can be relatable and it can be your crazy ex-girlfriend or your crazy best friend. And I was like, I think both Mickie and I were going a million miles a minute. Like we kept calling each other, spitballing ideas off each other. So that next day was when we were going to film it. We did film a match. And you know, it was live to TV. So we tape it in the day and then it goes and they edit it and go straight onto TV that night. And it did not air.
Did you ever hear why?
No, I mean, I heard, that's the problem is that in wrestling, you hear so many things and you don't know what's true. And so, you know, I did hear that it didn't get approved by Vince before we went out there. But who knows? Maybe Vince hated it. Maybe it was never approved to begin with. Who actually knows? Because I was never given the full how it was going to turn out or what even the next week was going to look like. So I just went out there like totally blind, knowing that I needed to show the hot mess.
You came up in obviously the worst possible time to get any FaceTime with Vince McMahon because it's the pandemic and why would you want to be, you know, face-to-face talking to people, around people? Did you get any FaceTime with him? Did you have any conversations with him?
I did. I got very lucky. Once the Mickie thing was down the drain and they moved to the Amway, mm-hmm. I started showing up again. Surprise!
Oh, no.
I started showing up again. I think I sat outside Vince's office for 4 weeks. At that point, we were going to debut. I was going to debut as a trio. So we had moved on. Mickey storyline is out. Trio idea is in. It was going to be sexy Pussycat Dolls meets Charlie's Angels meets whatever it was. We hadn't gone too far down the rabbit hole thinking what that idea was going to be, but we were going to debut in a trio. Myself, Danielle Camella, and Santana Garrett.
Okay.
So I love that idea. I think I'm going to say that about every idea, that because once I hear an idea, I get invested and I think of all the things that can come from it. So I loved it because I have a history with Danielle. We tried out for Tough Enough together. We were both alternates together, so we did have a lot of time alone. And then, of course, Santana is one of my best friends, and we traveled the world together. We were a tag team. I know how she works. So I knew that we were going to be able to make that work. So I sat outside Vince's office with them for a couple weeks and then on my own for a couple weeks.
All in one sitting. You never went home, too.
Yeah, exactly. I stayed there. I actually slept with it at Amway. I brought my sleeping bag and a protein shake.
Shocking they released her. Shocking. She just camped out.
And that idea ended up, I was able to meet with a couple of writers, but I never got to meet with Vince for that 4 weeks of waiting, which, you know, again, COVID, obviously, that's totally fine. And then once that idea was done and there was no ideas, I went again and waited for 3 weeks. And then I think on the third or fourth week, he ended up being able to see me, which was the best thing ever for my career. He sat down and we probably had a 30-minute chat. He asked who I was in terms of who do I want to be presented as. Yeah. And I told him, you know, I've probably pitched 15, 20 ideas. And he said, okay, give them to me, pitch them to me. And I pitched every single 15 ideas to him. He wrote them all down. We talked about each one. We talked about what ones would work and what wouldn't. He, you know, asked me why I thought certain things would work and why I thought certain things wouldn't. And 2 weeks later, I was in that Survivor Series qualifying match.
So, I mean, obviously that meeting went pretty well.
It went very well. You know, who knows on his end what he thought of me, but sure. I left in with such a positive vibe about the entire thing and relaying the meeting to Matt. You know, I realized how lucky I was to get such a long sit down with Vince McMahon. People just don't get that.
So when you're waiting, like how long are you waiting each time? Is there like a line? I'm so fascinated.
You show
by
up
this.
At call time. You show up at, you know, 1 or 2. I would show up around, so call time is 2. I would show up around 1:30. And I would sit beside a security guards outside his office and I would wait until 5 p.m.
Sounds like Club Vince, like you're waiting for the security guards to let you in, like no, I promise.
And if you go and somebody else is sitting there, you're like, no, like, you know, that like, there's a chance you might not, and you're going to sit there forever. I'll have to post it one of these days, but every time I waited outside, I took a picture with Vince's office in the background with a funny face, like.
Oh man. So it seems like it went well. You appeared on SmackDown a couple weeks ago, a couple weeks later, as you mentioned, and the plans with Charlotte had been pushed to the side. Danielle Camella, who WWE fans will know as Vanessa Bourne, they had also been called up at some point, but have not appeared on TV as well. Santana did the Rumble, maybe another spot, but you appeared on SmackDown, and there were some rumors about a possible name, Victorious. Was that going to happen? How is that going to work?
That was going to happen. I don't know, but I got told it was Victorious, and at first I thought it was a joke. I giggled when I got told. And then when I found out it was real, honestly, I love it. Yeah. I think that the name is so, oh my God, there's so many plays on Victorious that I could have used. So many finishing and submission names and so many puns. And like, oh man, I could have used that. I remember all day that day. everyone was singing Bobby Roode's Glorious to me, but with Victoria.
Yes. That's what comes to mind.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have done like plays? Oh, you were born in Victoria, British Columbia, right?
Yeah.
There are lots of plays off of that as well. But they brought you out.
Like, it's perfect.
Yeah, they brought you out and your name was Chelsea Green.
Okay, but that shocked me.
It shocked me too, because I was hearing all that day, wait till you see Chelsea Green's name. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I've seen her name be Laurel Van Ness and Reclusa. Like, what could possibly surprise me at this point?
Right. I know. Well, so when I saw my name and heard it as Chelsea Green, I was like, wait, what the hell? And I was very confused. And then I think I asked someone when my arm was broken in the back, I asked someone like, I'm confused. Why was my name Chelsea? What's going on? And they were like, oh, in the post-match segment, you were going to reveal that your name was Victorious.
Oh, okay.
Because I had a promo afterwards where I say, Billy Kay says something like, ooh, like, look at you. And I say basically like, I'm Victorious. For many different reasons.
Yeah. Well, obviously that match did not go as planned. And I remember about 2 or 3 minutes into it, I'm like, where's Chelsea? Where's she at? Because I had a feeling that they were going to have you win. I didn't know that for sure. But I was like, well, they're certainly not going to have her get drop kicked off the apron and not be in the match again. What's going through your mind here, and how does this happen? Because this is not the first time you have been through this specific injury before.
Yeah, so one thing that I want people to know is I'm not injury prone.
That's the rap. That's the detractors. I know you see it on your Twitter plenty, because if I tweet about upside of any wrestler, I'll get some goofball in the Twitter. And, oh, yeah, well, they're injury prone, and Joe's 40 years old. And I'm like... How many times do you think, or how long do you think this rap will stay with you? And is it something that you feel like you have to overcome?
I do feel like I have to overcome it. I do feel like I need to have a solid run without getting an injury. But the funny thing is that I never had an injury in wrestling. I broke my collarbone in India in the very start of my career. And that's it. That collarbone is like, done me good. I've been totally fine. You know, we all get bumps and bruises.
Hell of a collarbone.
Like, but yeah, but I'm like, I'm totally fine. Unfortunately, because I had a plate in my arm that leaves my arm susceptible to that break again. Yeah. That's something I didn't know. I had no idea. And so going into that match, I didn't realize a simple fall was going to be like the demise of me. I had no idea. If I had known, maybe I would have protected myself more. But not even, you know, it was such a simple move that we do all the time. And I dropped down onto the ground and I put my arms down and I saw it. I felt just a rush and I saw it. And I was so mad. I'm not a crier. I'm like, I get really angry because I knew like, this is my time. We're in the middle of a match. I can't relay this message to anyone. The only person that's beside me is Tamina. So the only person that I can tell, hey, bro, my arm's broken, is Tamina.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't know who else. And that's one thing, you know, I got thrown into the main roster without having many TV matches. So I haven't been in, I know what to do at Impact. Yeah. I know if something happens, I know who to go to, but on the main roster, like I've been out there for 5 minutes. I don't know who to tell, like, hey, like the match doesn't need to be over, but I'm hurt.
And then
I can't get
they're
back
live
in
again too. So,
and they're live and this is my one shot. I tried to get back in and Tamina did not let me. And I'm so thankful for that because my whole arm would have shattered if I had got back in and did what I wanted to do.
Man, I've got so many questions here. One, does a ref eventually come and check on you, or do they, like, how do they send word?
Eventually relay it to a ref. Tamina was, God, thank God for her. She relayed it to a cameraman who relayed it to the ref, who relayed it to medical and backstage so that they can make all the changes necessary that they need to. And then, you know, there's always someone ringside medically. So someone came over and he basically held my wrist in place while it was bent this way, held it in place until the match was over, and then we rushed to the back and rushed to hospital.
And not to put a damper, but do you think if that injury hadn't happened that you would be released right now?
No, I don't. But I'm not really one to dwell on sure. what ifs. There's a couple what ifs in my career that I linger on, and I often have to remind myself, like, but that's life. And not only is that life, that's definitely wrestling. Yes. Do you know what I mean? That is so wrestling. And unfortunately, I hadn't experienced it before, but I'm experiencing it now and at the highest level. And so, yeah, honestly, I think I would have thrived. I think I would have been put in really cool storylines and shown, you know, my promo skills and the things that Paul Heyman saw in me from day one. I would have been able to show everybody else, but I didn't. I didn't get to. And that's that. One thing I am thankful for is I do think like that Liv Morgan deserves the world. And I know she can be in one of those top spots. And she changed so much when she took that time off from being the old Liv to the new Liv. And I think that she deserves to shine. So I am really glad that the person who won that match was Liv and she went to Survivor Series.
I heard that on the headset, apparently it was changed like repeatedly. And I was pretty happy to see Liv in that spot too. But had you heard of any creative plans beyond that? Like, obviously you're winning, you're going to Survivor Series, probably getting a payday off that. And a lot of things are changing all at once.
I heard nothing. So I really do think that I changed Vince's mind in that meeting. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when it came down to who should be in this match today, who should win, he said my name. And I'm so thankful for that. But beyond that, I don't think there was any plans. And I also think that if you truly think about that Survivor Series match and the storylines that were within it, I was going to go into that match the same way I went into the NXT ladder match at TakeOver with zero storyline. And in wrestling, there's nothing worse than zero storyline.
Because, truly. We saw Walter get thrown onto the NXT team in 2019 and they pinned him in 2.5 minutes.
And that's the thing. Would I have been the one taking the pin? Probably. Yeah. Would I have cared? Absolutely not. Like, I needed to get out there. If you want to, you know, give me a big boot and pin me right off the bat, honestly, go ahead. I'm good. I'm your girl. I've done it before. I'll do it again. But I really do think like that I was in no position to even be in that match.
So at some point throughout this period, it's reported you got a new 3-year contract. Was that offered before the injury, after the injury? I had heard that you signed it after the injury, but I didn't know if it was offered before or after.
It was offered before, but it was something that I needed to think about because, you know, my career at WWE didn't go the way I thought it would. I didn't make the impressions that I thought it would, you know, on everyone. So I really wanted to just sit down and think about it. And I had decided that most likely going forward after seeing the struggle that Matt had, you know, like, and going kind of place to place and trying to figure out what he was going to do. I thought, you know what, this was my goal. Mm-hmm. I want to be here. So I wanted to sign it. So I friggin' signed that thing so fast once I broke my arm. Man, couldn't, you could have got me that contract right in hospital. Whoop! Like, I was like, no, I want to be here. And I think it was like, while I was sitting in that hospital bed that I was like, shit, you know, I almost did it. I almost got there and on Survivor Series and all these cool things were coming my way, you know, stop taking these opportunities for granted. I'm lucky.
When would your deal have been up had you not re-signed?
January. Well, that's another funny thing. I actually had re-signed a contract right before I got called up.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually had re-signed a contract for NXT right before I was called up. So I would have still had, you know, a solid 2 years.
Because I remember when I talked to Matt, he wasn't sure what he was going to do by the time he was released. He had been offered a contract like a year before that and sat on it. And by the time his 90 days were up, he would have only had like 3 or 4 more weeks on his WWE deal anyway. So basically,
yeah,
they just,
it was a weird overlap with his.
They basically just sliced a month off his deal, and that was that was effectively it.
Yeah.
Now, we heard people have 90-day no-competes. How are you handling that? Is that something that, you're excited about, you don't want? How is that for you?
I feel like it's a win-win with the non-compete because of the money. Like,
sure.
I think that we're making so much more money in WWE than we are on the indies. So it's great to ride out that 90 days and know that you have 90 days to save as much as you can to prepare yourself. For especially in this time.
Yes.
We're so lucky to get a paycheck in this time. And man, all my friends, my family, you know, they struggle. They struggled through the pandemic. And I felt very fortunate to have this paycheck coming in. I feel very fortunate to have the 90 days. However, you know, in that same breath, I will say, I don't necessarily want 90 days off of wrestling. I don't want 90 days away from the public. I've had a year.
Yeah.
Away from the public eye. I've had a year away from interacting with the fans and showing them why I know I'm a star, you know, and I am so thankful that the things I did before WWE really shone a positive light on my skill. Because if I hadn't had the Impact Women's Championship, if I hadn't main evented Lucha Underground, if I hadn't had a bomb ass match at All In, would you guys still be waiting for me? Would you still remember the Hot Mess? You know, would we be having these interviews? I don't know.
I'd still interview you. Come on.
I don't know. You might want the dirt still. So you might still interview me. You're right. But I'm kind of like, I've had so much time off. Like, just let me go. Just let me do what I want to do, which is wrestle and act and do all these things where I get to interact. So I'm like, counting down the days while also, you know, trying to figure out a way, like, do I need these 90 days? Do I need 90 days of pay? Can I just go and do my own thing and, you know, shine?
Man, there's so much to talk to you about your WWE run that where you said you had like a year off, but there's still just so much stuff to talk about there. Whenever I would ask, hey, why isn't Santana Garrett on TV? Why isn't Chelsea Green on TV? Why isn't Vanessa Bourne on TV? This person, that person, Aleister Black, et cetera, et cetera. I would hear who pushed for them and who didn't. Like, I came across this week that maybe Kevin Dunn didn't see it with Billy Kay. And then over that year, I had heard, oh, Paul Heyman definitely does see it in Chelsea Green. He seems like he was integral and instrumental in you being called up and really just the idea of you being on that main roster.
There are a few people in my career as a pro wrestler that I like to thank. One is Lance Storm for starting my career. Two is Billy Gunn for believing in me after Tough Enough. Three is Gail Kim for, you know, truly believing in me at Impact and really pushing me to be the best version of myself. And, you know, now the fourth person I would add to that list from WWE is Paul Heyman. And I don't know what I did to get so lucky, but I will never forget cutting a promo in front of Paul Heyman at the Performance Center. And he said to me in front of everyone, he said, wow, you live up to all of the hype, of to every single positive thing that I heard about you. You lived up to that and you blew me out of the water. And I was like, I could have cried. I don't cry, but I could have cried. It was, and that was really the start of my relationship with Paul Heyman. And it just got better and better throughout those 2 years.
Sometimes we hear that maybe Paul pushing for somebody isn't a great thing. Like, I'm sure you've heard that in the past as well. Paul has said that in the past, I think. I'm interested to hear about maybe your interactions with some other people in authority there, like a Bruce Pritchard. I don't know if you guys crossed paths in like MLW or anything like that. I don't know if he was there then. How was he to deal with?
So like Bruce. He always answered my emails. Like what I judge it off is like, do you answer my emails? Do you answer my pitch ideas?
He doesn't even answer Conrad's emails.
Yeah, he answers my emails. Not all the time, but like he answers my emails when it matters. He answers my pitch ideas when I've asked for sit downs with him. He has given those to me. So, I mean, I appreciate that. Besides that, we did cross paths a little bit in Impact briefly, like for a hot second. But other than that, we really don't have a relationship. I have tried to make a relationship with kind of like every person I could under the sun who has authority, whether it be Triple H, you know, Matt Bloom, the writers at NXT, Johnny Ace, Bruce, people like that. But man, Paul Heyman has just been like the fire under my butt to just, let's go, let's do this. You know, like he loves a good character and he loves a good promo. And that's me.
Some of the other people there that are of influence, I mentioned Kevin Dunn. Did you ever have any interactions with him?
No, I didn't. Kevin Dunn is like, God,
you Wizard just hear of Oz.
Him and you never see him.
Interesting. Interesting.
We all talk about him, but you never see him.
Well, you had mentioned Gail earlier. We're talking about some people in authority. Both Gail and Scott D'Amore both basically said, hey, here, come here. What's up? As soon as you were released, that's got to feel good, right?
Honestly, it feels so good. It's everything that you want to hear the day that you're told you're not wanted. Is you want to feel wanted. And to have those conversations with Ring of Honor, with Impact, with AEW, like, that's amazing to feel wanted. Those people were tweeting nice things about me. And they didn't need to. None of them needed to, and all of them did.
So have you had conversations with other companies besides Impact Wrestling already?
I've had conversations with everyone, but I say that because I'm friends with all of them.
Sure.
And it's hard. There's a very fine line. You know, it's hard to ask your friends for a job. I have friends at Ring of Honor, AEW, and Impact, and friends in Japan. You know, I talked to EO today, and EO is like, I'll do whatever I can to negotiate for you in Japan. I've talked to people in Mexico to, you know, hopefully try to do some stuff in Mexico that I didn't get to totally do on my time in the Indies. So I have spoken to everyone. I'm not one to sit back and wait. So, you know, like I got released and that night I spoke with everyone and the next morning I took bookings.
Wow. Fantastic.
I mean, what can you do? You can't wait.
I mean, when I looked at the people who were released, I'm like, man, there's a lot of these people that are going to have a lot of options out there. And I know AEW's got a really big roster, but obviously you're TV ready and have been for years now. You were TV ready when you got signed to NXT. And well before that, you've appeared on TV basically for what became AEW All In. You appeared for MLW, Lucha Underground. So not only are you TV ready, you're TV ready for like five different kinds of TV, which is pretty wild.
Now, the only company I haven't worked for, the only major company I haven't worked for is Ring of Honor. And we did really try to make that work before I got signed, but I wasn't able to. So that's like really on my bucket list.
And I know I know a year ago they wanted to reintegrate their women's division because they had all the stuff with Kelly Klein. That's unfortunate. But a year ago, they were going to start that tournament for Mania Weekend. And they contacted a bunch of big names. Like Ashley Vox was telling me, yeah, I was supposed to work that tournament. And now they're finally getting back to it. And when people said, oh, who should Ring of Honor bring in? A year ago, I was like, well, they should probably bring in a guy like Matt Cardona, who is a great worker, but has a bright personality as well. And you definitely have both of those things, right?
Thanks. I think so. And I would love, they just signed Kellyanne Fien.
Yes.
She might be one of the most underrated wrestlers ever. And I try so hard, tried for years to get her signed places because she is just such a star. And finally she signed and I'm just dying to wrestle her again.
So I definitely want to get to some other topics, but it's weird. We have some reader questions, which is interesting because I didn't put out there that I was doing this interview. But
what?
There is a Dr. Britt B. from Pittsburgh who asks, why didn't Fire and Nice ever win tag titles in Rise or Shimmer?
I love that question because you know what? I wonder the same thing. We were the best freaking tag team, women's tag team out there at the time, and we lost every goddamn match. Every match. And we weren't even given good opportunities, so...
Well, we have another question. This one is from a Deanna P. from New Jersey. It says, who is the worst backseat driver that you know?
I think she expects me to say her, but I would say her rival is Matt. They're both.
Really?
Yeah, the two of them. Deanna's like an invisible breaker and like a, whoa. And then Matt's like a, get off your phone, even though he's on his phone when he drives. It's very annoying. But also, I shouldn't be on my phone when I drive. And I know
neither of you should be.
No, I know. And it is bad. I would say Matt is much worse at it, but I'm like a no hands texting type of gal. And that's like the worst.
Interesting. Wow. And but you said you expect, this is a completely anonymous person. What are you talking about? Like, you don't know who asked these questions. I hid the last name and everything. So I want to talk a little bit about your NXT run too, because we did see you do stuff with the Robert Stone brand. You did have that very quick call up. You and Deanna both did. It's very obvious you guys had pitched VXT there. Impact Wrestling has a Knockouts tag team division, which that was something that Gail Kim was very quick to remind me was, hey, you know what? We got a tag team division over here. There's other places with tag team divisions. When you look back at your NXT run in totality, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like there was something left to be desired? Because obviously there were some things you all wanted to happen that didn't quite happen.
Yeah, there was definitely something left to be desired. However, I will say that my goal was always the main roster from day one. The minute I set foot in there, the minute I set foot in a wrestling ring, my goal was Raw and SmackDown. And that's not everybody's goal, you know? Some people's goal, as we have seen, is NXT.
Champa said he'd retire if he got called up.
Right, exactly. So with that being said, do I wish that I made more of an impact at NXT? Absolutely. But they don't need me. They don't need me. I am a main roster talent. I push my boobs up. I show my butt. And I go out there and I make a fool of myself. And NXT is about wrestling. Like real hard hitting wrestling. And I can wrestle, but that's not my number one priority in wrestling. My number one priority is to entertain and make a fool of myself, and I've done that my whole career. Like that's how I've made my money. And so I think it was always, I was always hired to end up there on Raw or SmackDown, and I'm totally okay with that.
So I had mentioned, I mean, obviously we see Deanna get released last year, and when I did an interview with her right after her release, We kind of joked. I was like, do you want to hear something sad? And she's like, what? That I was 0-20 in WWE? And now, obviously, things are a lot different for her. She's one of the greatest Knockouts champions of all time now, a year later.
No.
And when you see that and you see what Matt has done with his show, and I mean, I when I talk to him, he's like, man, he's like, I don't think I knew that it was a blessing then, but it is now. And he said the same about you. Like, maybe she doesn't know how much of a blessing it is, but it seems like very quickly that's coming into focus for you that, well, I mean, my goal might have to be different, but I can still achieve it type of thing.
I'm really lucky that I can add WWE to my resume. But it's tough because Raw and SmackDown was my goal, the end all be all. And I didn't show what I wanted to show. And I didn't show that I was worthy of a spot on that roster. And I think that that's one thing that will haunt me a little bit. However, I thrived before WWE. So I know I'll be fine after. And that's why I don't think this is a blessing, because it's not like, you know, it's not like I did all these amazing things and then I was treated like garbage. No, sure. Like I was so close to doing all those amazing things and I wish I could have. However, I'm just going from here to here. Mm-hmm. I'm going parallel and I'm going to do something totally different. And I'm going to, you know, show WWE what they didn't get to see. And I'm going to show the world what they didn't get to see in the past 2 years, you know, and it's going to be great, but it doesn't feel like a blessing, but it is a positive.
So I had mentioned that NXT run. Was Deonna your first match in NXT, like on a live event?
She was.
Were you all close before that, or is that just what sparked
it? We actually both had an Impact tryout, the tryout that I basically got hired from. We were both there at the same time, and that was years ago, like, yeah, you know, over 5 years ago. And so that's kind of where we met, but we had always been friends through social media, and same with Britt and I. We were always friends through social media. We just had so much in common, and I think we saw a bit of ourselves in each other.
And obviously that ended up working out pretty nicely for you all. There were a lot of people excited for VXT. You both had that December week call-up thing. Was that just pure luck that it was you two and not you and somebody else?
Yeah, I think I would guess that they called us originally for some sort of tag match. There was something going on at the time that was tag related, and I can't remember what it was now, but I do remember there was some tag related stuff. So we did.
It's all right. They don't remember their tag titles either.
Yeah. So it was tag related, but then when we got up there, I also heard that it was just who are two girls that can go that haven't necessarily been overexposed on NXT. It's not an NXT talent coming up. It's just a talent coming up. Cause we hadn't been on, you know, we hadn't had that spotlight shone on us on NXT yet. So, I mean, that was pretty freaking cool. But you know, originally VXT was myself, Deonna, and Rachel.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a trio, and then Rachel got injured.
Yeah.
And now that was so unfortunate. Like that whole thing was so unfortunate.
And she was at the Impact tapings recently. So, I mean, that, things are looking up for her. After that December call-up, like, that wasn't it. You did a couple main event matches. You worked Sarah Logan, and you worked Natalya. So, for, like, 3 solid weeks, it looks like you're called up. But it's never, like, a great thing when you're immediately put on main event. So, what kind of emotions did you go through there? I mean, it at the same time, main event, but you're winning. You're beating Sarah Logan. So how did you feel about that?
Honestly, I was so happy because I, again, worked my whole career to be on the main roster. So I didn't put main event in any different category than Raw or SmackDown because I was so new. I was so new. And at the time, I had already seen a couple of the NXT girls go up, do main events to prove or to give the main roster time for them to decide what box are we putting her in? What is her character? What is her storyline? What is her deal? So I was just like, woo, let's go. I'm on the main roster. I get, you know, my family gets to see me in Canada because they didn't get to see me in Canada on NXT. If I was on NXT, it didn't air then.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, you know, all my friends are going to be able to walk into a sports bar and say, put on Raw. And there's their girlfriend, you know, on TV. So I was like in heaven. And at that point I had been told I was called up.
So that January was a roller coaster. Cause I know after that you worked in an NXT live event. So, and I think it was against Caden Carter. Cause I remember seeing the NXT live event results and I'm like, what's she doing on there? What were you told when you were told maybe you're going back on a loop or doing an NXT live event?
So I didn't think anything of the NXT live events because I had been told in the past that people would still do 30 days at NXT.
Okay.
So there was nothing like out of the ordinary for me there. I also, it's kind of fun to like be up on that big stage and then to go and get that pop in like a little indie venue. Like that's pretty cool too, right? Cause like I wasn't getting that beforehand because I got that at the beginning of my NXT career, but then I turned into like, well, she's not on TV, so she's not Bianca. She's not winning the NXT UK title, so she's not Rhea. So who is she? who cares who she is, right? So that was kind of cool to come back and be able to have those matches and have them be excited to see me.
And I'm always fascinated about the Royal Rumble. You popped up there, looked like a star there. People still use the GIF. Like anytime something's happening with you, there's the GIF, whatever it's called up there. How were you told that it was going to happen? And what goes into the process of working a Royal Rumble match?
Nobody told me I was going to be in the Royal Rumble.
You just showed up. That's what you do.
Yeah, you just showed up. I just showed up and they put me in. No, but nobody told me. I actually had heard the year I got hired. I got hired in 2018. Okay, so I got hired October 2018. I had heard that my name had been thrown around for that Royal Rumble in 2019 to debut, or not debut, but come out for the Royal Rumble as the Hot Mess. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, you know, I heard that, and that is awesome. Like, that was cool. So then when it came to the Royal Rumble, Robert Stone and I did talk about, like, this is a possibility this year. You know, you're on TV, you've done a couple of main events and Raws, and you're on NXT TV. This could happen. But we never heard anything. And then we got a notification in our WWE app saying that there is a dress rehearsal for the Royal Rumble that you're needed for. So I was like, wait, so I texted him like, wait, are we in it? What's happening?
You're in Florida at this time. The pay-per-view's in what, Arizona or Houston? I can't remember. Yeah, I know it was
not
at the baseball.
Arizona was the one I would have been on. Okay. It was the next year.
So yeah, it was Houston then, the baseball stadium. So what, did you have to like hop on a flight like immediately or?
Yeah, so it was I believe like the day before, like, so I got that and then I got all my flight information, and it was like maybe the next day or something like that. But luckily we had spoken about it. So I was ready. You know, I'm always ready with gear. Always. Like, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be in WrestleMania in 2020, but I had WrestleMania gear ready, and I had backup WrestleMania gear ready, and I had SmackDown and Raw, you know, just in case they wanted me to debut, gear ready.
Wow.
So I'm good. I'm good on that front. Like, I had that pink outfit ready and planned for the Royal Rumble in case.
That's fantastic. So, so needless to say, you've got plenty of new gear for your future run, right?
You don't even want to see the amount of gear I have for all the things I thought I was going to do. I probably have 12 sets of gear I've never worn sitting waiting for me, and I have 4 pairs of boots.
Well, that's a good problem to have now, right? Because you're going to be seen everywhere. One of the things I saw a lot of people saying, oh, is she going to bring back her YouTube channel? Is she going to be doing a lot of the things that people outside of WWE are allowed to do, like Twitch and podcasts and stuff like that? Obviously, you know a guy who's got a pretty good podcast network, Matt Cardona. He's doing pretty good with that right now.
Yeah, I really, all those things I'm going to start doing again. I was doing YouTube for a little bit during the pandemic, and I had a lot of fun with it. I need to educate myself a little more in editing and things like that, because I love sitting down and editing stuff myself. So I will be doing that, and I'm going to get a podcast up and running here soon. I'm trying to sell the idea to Barstool, but I don't have any contacts. So honestly, like, no shame. You know what I mean? You. Like, no shame. I put it out there. How is anybody going to know that I want to do something if I don't tell people? I've always been someone, like, if I'm on a diet or something like that, I tell people, because then you have to do it. You're accountable. And I told the world that I want to do a podcast. So now I'm accountable. And, you know, I got to sit down and I got to do it this week. So we're going to get started. So we'll see. There's so many ideas that I have. I was offered a movie role. Last year, yeah, for an awesome movie that's shooting in Canada that had to shut down because of the pandemic. And there we go. There's the blessing in disguise. You know, that's something that I may not have been allowed to do. And now I was able to send them a text and say, I'm 100% in and there's nothing stopping me.
So it seems like with the unfortunate series of events that unfolded between not being used on TV, hurt, getting hurt, getting released, even though it didn't go your way, you're pretty optimistic about the future, even the possibility of a future with WWE again if those roads cross.
Yeah, totally. I mean, never say never for anything, any opportunity, you know? And I didn't go out guns a-blazing with WWE. I have a relationship with all those people that the bridge is not burnt. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm saying it. I'm like, wait a second. Well, I can't really say that the bridge isn't burnt, but you know, like I think I have a good relationship with all those people. And I'm really excited to not focus on WWE and to focus on the other companies that I know I can be a star at. But never say never for anything in the future.
And we've seen that work out for so many people. Eric Young, for example, had one of his best creative years ever, I thought, in Impact Wrestling. We mentioned Deanna. She knocked it out of the park. There's a whole lot of people. Nick Comoroto, who is Nick Ogarelli in NXT, he's on AEW TV now. And quite frankly, 99% of the wrestling audience didn't know who he was a year ago. So there are a lot of things. And you have somebody who has navigated it in Matt, and he has emerged very successful out of it. We've seen him on AEW. We've seen him on Impact. I've mentioned his, I mean, they just did a Figure Wrestling Federation live show, for the love of God. Like, it looks like he's having the time of his life right now.
Yeah, there's just so many people in my life that have come out on top. And that's kind of what I'm excited for. I do look at people like Matt and Cody, and they're just killing it, and they're having their best years ever, and it's, you know, it has nothing to do with the largest wrestling company. It has everything to do with them fulfilling themselves creatively, and that's always where I've been happiest, is just being creative, and that's what I want to do.
Well, I appreciate you being so generous with your time. I mean, there's stuff, we got source material for like 3 interviews in the future, because we didn't talk Tough Enough or Impact or MLW.
Oh my gosh, we have so much. We have so much to talk about. So whenever you want to talk, I'm here.
And this is my first interview with Chelsea Green. So like, you guys, I'm going to be hitting her up again in the future, because there's so much stuff I want to know about the Hot Mess and Impact and TNA and all that good stuff. But guys, check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. It's back up and running, isn't it?
Thank God to Matt for getting my Pro Wrestling Tees store up before I had even got off the phone, you know? Like, so everybody go buy a t-shirt, my new t-shirts, Chelsea Green Pro Wrestling Tees store. Woo!
Check it out, guys. Support what she's doing. You see her Twitter handle here on the screen. Chelsea Green, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.